Right now, we are joined by my very good friend and very patient man, Eldon Thompson. Eldon, welcome to The Next Big Thing.
Hi, Tori. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you tonight?
Good.
Good. I just have to ask because I'm sitting here. My husband actually usually does my chat room for me, but he is out of town, so my friend Stacy is sitting here doing it for me. And, of course, the first obvious question that I have to ask for her benefit is, are you single?
I am, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I was in a relationship for about 12 and a half years that ended probably about a year ago. So.
And now he's completely available.
Yeah.
You know, I was. It was really funny for me today because I got off the phone with you today and we were talking, and then I had pulled up all of your stuff again to get ready for your interview tonight, and I started looking at it, and I was going, this feels so weird because we've been going back and forth forever, and it's like, this guy doesn't write screenplays. This is the guy I try to talk about football with.
That's where I'm most comfortable, yes.
I know. So I have, and, you know, of course, football, the first question I have to ask is, how does somebody who went to Western Oregon University and then to UCLA for graduate school end up a Florida Gator fan?
You know what? I was a quarterback primarily in high school and college, and so I was a big fan of the passing offenses. And that I was in college in the early to mid-90s, and that was kind of the heyday of Steve Spurrier down there at Florida. So I just kind of, I was watching, I think early 90s, I was watching Florida State. Bobby Bowden and his crew were kind of ruling the top 25 at the time, and they'd play Florida every year, and I thought it was a really entertaining offense that Spurrier was running down there in Gainesville, so I just kind of fell in love with what he was doing down there offensively, and I guess it stuck. I mean, obviously Spurrier left, and they've had a couple new coaches at Florida since then, but I guess I just kind of got stuck cheering for the Gators, and still doing it here 10, 12 years later, yeah. And,
right.
You know, as you know, the best football in the nation is played down in the SEC, so.
It absolutely is. I was going to say, you know, if you got to pick a team, you might as well pick one from the SEC. So how did you begin your career in writing? I mean, I know that you majored in English and health sciences and were going to go to dental school and then said, you know, screw it, I'm going to write.
From as early as I can remember, I wanted to write. I grew up on Lord of the Rings and Star Wars films and Indiana Jones and the big adventure stories like that. And so I always knew I wanted to tell those kinds of stories. But, you know, I had the parents who were very supportive. They said, oh, yeah, we believe you could, you know, do that, honey. Now make sure you get good grades and go off and become a doctor or something safe, you know. So, you know, sort of a backhanded compliment. So that's how, in school I – you know, the only other thing, I had the two passions, football and writing, but writing was, you know, I figured, okay, well, I'll do the responsible thing and try to get a real, you know, scholarships and a real job, quote unquote, and, you know, support myself. So I've been writing since about the second grade and just tons and tons of pages of handwritten manuscripts and such. But like I said, that was kind of to be on the side. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, I was going to dental school, and I thought, you know, I was really only doing it because I had a friend that was kind of encouraging me to do that. He was a dentist, and he was kind of encouraging me to kind of take up his mantle, and I thought it seemed reasonable enough, but I got to thinking, you know, this, I don't really have a passion for this, and I don't know if I could even have gotten through dental school without, you know, being passionate about it. But had I done that, certainly wouldn't be fair, I think, to the patients to have a power, you know, tool in their mouth unless I enjoy that work. You know, I don't want to come into work every day and be frustrated and, you know, with this power drill in somebody else's mouth. So, by my senior year, I thought, no, I'm gonna scrap this and just do what I really want to do, which is write. So I switched to the English degree and, you know, got out of school and did technical writing for a while since I had kind of a science background and English. People joked and said I used, both sides of my brain, however small the overall brain was. I happened to use both sides. So, Yeah, so I did the tech writing for a while, and then just kept writing the novels and the screenplays on the side until I started getting some momentum, and here I am.
Awesome. So the first book that you ever published was the one I think that I just finished, which was The Crimson Sword. Is that right?
Correct, yes. Yep, that's right. Yeah, I had a couple of short stories that were published in some anthologies, novel. Yeah, I always wrote novels. You know, they encourage a lot of newer writers, whatever the age, newer writers to try writing articles and short stories and things like that first to kind of build your resume. But none of those things are real easy. They're kind of a different art form. And I was always enamored with the big, epic, sweeping sagas, you know, written by Tolkien and Terry Brooks and Lloyd Alexander's Pride Inc. Chronicles and the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis and things like that. So. Mm-hmm. I figured I'd just kind of focus on that and manage to buck the odds. I know a lot of well-known, established fantasy writers today that say, you know, no one breaks into fantasy with the 1,000-page, you know, fantasy story anymore. And I was fortunate enough to do that.
So what was it like to, because, I mean, I know I've read all of the Terry Brooks, and you know, you think you met him at a writer's conference, didn't you?
Yeah, I'd met him at a couple book signings when I was a kid, but, you know, he'd never remember that because he was in line with 5,000 other people. But, yeah, it was what happened is I was actually studying the screenwriting at UCLA, and about the time, it was about 99, 2000, and I saw that he was actually teaching in Maui at the Maui Writers Conference. And I thought, well, that's an opportunity money can't buy. But there
Absolutely.
It was. You know, you just pay the fees and fly out there, and you spend a week studying with a guy who was my idol. So I did that. I flew up there, and the joke was, I find out years later that I can be perceived as somewhat intense in my focus and when I'm doing things, and people sometimes misinterpret that. When you get to know me, people find I'm just the most disarming, harmless guy you could meet. But when I'm really focused and, you know, they think I'm too serious, and there was some concern based on earlier years, some of their big-name authors down there in Maui had actually had stalkers that were just basically just hanging around. They weren't there to write or learn to write. They were there to bug their idols. And,
Wow.
So I find out later that my writing...
You're a stalker, Elton.
I was a borderline stalker, yes, but I was very polite about it. Very harmless, very polite. But yeah, so there was some concern that, you know, my writing was so bad, they say. Now, I'd had a lot of education in it, but, you know, knowing how to apply skills and, you know, understanding how a story works and being able to put one together, kind of two different beasts. So I'd come from college and I knew how to analyze things and such, but my stories were not entertaining. They were too, I was trying so hard to be original and write something that had never been heard of or seen before that I was writing just these really off-the-wall things that no one could really relate to. There was no definable, you know, Terry teased me about trying to define the cosmos within the cosmos, and, you know, it was impossible for anyone to relate to. So he was
sure.
One of those who, you know, kind of, he and others, you know, after, so basically, so the first year I went home, you know, thinking I'd learned some, and I did learn a lot, but I went home, basically, I was so bad that they thought I was just a stalker, and so that was pretty deflating. But I kept going back, and after a number of years, you know, started winning, you know, I think the respect of some of these teachers, and Terry in particular gave me some really good advice and told me to stop trying to redefine the cosmos if I was writing a coming-of-age adventure story, and to just trust in my own voice to make that, you know, new and fresh and unique and just do that. So, yeah, it was great advice, and that's what I ended up doing.
So you are now working on the screenplay to converting Terry's Shannara series into a film for Warner Brothers, correct?
Correct. I wrote that. I'm not currently doing anything with that. I wrote the screenplay. I wrote it, again, probably back in 99, 2000 originally. What happened is when I was at UCLA, I was still struggling kind of with basic story format as well as learning the screenplay structure and format, and it's pretty rigid. And so at the time I thought, you know what, I'm going to eliminate some of the variables here and I'm going to take a story I know is proven and know is structurally sound and works, and I'm just going to adapt that and just focus on the screenplay format and the rules and all that. And so that Terry Brooks' second published novel, The Elfstones of Shannara, was my favorite as a child. So I took that and adapted it. And over the years, as I got to know Terry a little bit, got his permission to go ahead and start shopping it, you know, letting people in Hollywood read it. And it took it was a number of years. Like I said, this was probably 99, 2000 when I wrote the first draft. And we Warner Brothers optioned it. I think it was middle of last year, middle of 07. Early 07. So it took a number, it took 6-7 years of shopping this thing to find the right people who were interested in it. But yeah, Warner Brothers picked up an option on all the books. Obviously, I couldn't, you know, sell the studio a story that I didn't own the rights, the underlying rights to. So they optioned the series, the Shannara series from Terry Brooks, and they went ahead and optioned my screenplay treatment of it. Now, Hollywood is, you know, a fickle beast, and you know, what they end up doing with that screenplay is anybody's guess. They might end up, you know, shooting it word for word. That's not unlikely. You know, more likely is they hire another writer or another half dozen writers, do various treatments. You know, they might start from scratch. They might stick to it. My adaptation was really faithful to the book, perhaps too faithful in some circumstances. So there's some concern that the average audience member won't be able to follow the story as well. Without them throwing in some kind of cute little summaries like they did in the Lord of the Rings films. And so there's a long ways to go, but right now they do have a director and producer attached. His name is Mike Newell. He's been around for a while and done some films like Four Weddings and a Funeral, Donnie Brasco. He did the fourth Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Directed a lot of the Young Indiana Jones for TV. So he knows what he's doing, and he's basically, as far as I understand, he's kind of calling the shots now between him and Warner Brothers. He's going to, you know, and from what I hear, he's a big fan of the series. So as the little 9-year-old fanboy with the Shannara series, I just really desperately want to see it done, you know, faithful as possible to the books. And
sure.
So I got my fingers crossed like everybody else.
Now, what do you still read like fantasy and sci-fi and everything? I mean, is that what you'd like to read yourself?
I do. Yeah, I would say that's probably still my favorite genre to read just for fun. It does become at times, you know, I feel oversaturated, so I definitely read. I'll branch out and read anything anyone recommends, basically, and try to. There's always something to learn from another genre, especially with fantasy. One of the great things about fantasy is you can write any kind of story you want, you know, be it a mystery or a horror or a romance or elements of all of the above, political thriller, you kind of throw it all in there. So it's really good to read all the genres and kind of get an idea of, you know, especially which authors are really popular. And usually there's a reason for that. It's because they're doing something particularly well in their series. And so if you can read a romance series and learn how to write some romance, and which I don't, not yet anyway.
I know you're lying. I know you have one of those cheap dime store, grocery store paperbacks right on your nightstand. I know you do.
I just need to read them, yes. become a little more well-versed in that arena. No, so yeah, I read all over the place, but I do still, my favorite genre, it still goes back to, you know, fantasy, and primarily fantasy. I've read some science fiction, but primarily the fantasy, the pseudo-medieval worlds with the dragons and magic and swords and all that good stuff.
So what do you see next for you? Are you writing anything new, or are you just kind of taking a breather at the moment?
You know, I am kind of taking a breather at the moment. My third book, which finished this first series of books, was a trilogy. So it's all wrapped up. It would be like the original Star Wars series where, you know, the first story kind of stands on its own. If that's the one you've read, you kind of get to a point where it's, you know, kind of wrapped up. You don't really have to go on if you don't want to, but there's some threads open there into the next two. And then the second book is a cliffhanger. So it'd be kind of like The Empire Strikes Back. You don't really want to stop there because it's at the point where kind of all hell's broken loose and the darkest moment for everybody. And nothing very positive.
Oh, I love the darkest moment for everybody.
I do too. You know, I'm an Empire Strikes Back kind of guy. So actually, of my books, I would say my second one's still my favorite. The third one is the big finale with, you know, more like Return of the Jedi with all the big you know, climactic battles and all that good stuff. So finishing that, it was nice to just kind of step back. That just came out in July. So I've been toying around with some possible sequels. I think I'm leaning toward doing like a spin-off series. There's a character in the first book that was my favorite character and seems to be most readers' favorite character. And I think I might, you know, do a kind of spin-off series and see where his adventures are taking him outside of the normal or out of the big world, the main world in this first series. So I need to sit down and do that. But I've mostly been kept busy recently writing new screenplays. I've got a screenplay that's a superhero, original superhero concept along the lines of Batman. It's probably the closest parallel. And it seems to be a good one, you know, with the popularity of that right now. We've had an offer. A producer friend of mine have an offer on that. So there's that one, and then I'm finishing up an adaptation of a book written by a friend of mine. That's an urban fantasy with demons basically battling superheroes of light. You know, agents of dark versus agents of light, kind of maintaining this balance set in Las Vegas. So it's an urban fantasy and kind of a kick-ass Matrix type. Story with a heroine, a female lead. The stories are great. They're really sassy and everything. These are by Vicki Pedersen is the name of the author, and The Scent of Shadows is her first book. And it's her first book. It just came out, I think it was last year, and she's got two more since then, and it's really taken off. So I'm excited about that, and I actually haven't even told her yet. We've talked about doing it, but I haven't even told her yet that I just finished the rough draft of that, and so I need to sit down with her and, you know, make sure she's cool with it and what she thinks of the treatment, the execution, and see if we can do that. But, yeah, in writing, it's always about the next project. You know, like, for instance, Shanner, I'm really excited about that, but I wrote the script and that, you know, I did my part, and now whether or not they bring it to the screen, you know, could happen in 6 months or 6 years or never. And in the meantime, I just kind of move on and write the next thing. But in terms of books, I think I'll probably stick within the world I've established in this Legend of Azrael series. I definitely want to go to new locations and meet new characters and not stick in the same old area with the same old characters,
sure.
Partly because I've killed most of them off. I think that to stay fresh as a writer, I don't know. There's some writers that can just keep writing about the same character forever, and I'm more along the lines. I like to put the characters kind of through the ringer, and then they've learned whatever lessons they're going to learn or failed to learn whatever lessons they should have learned, and then that's kind of it. You know, they've had their hero's arc, their journey, and then, you know, that's it for them. So
yeah,
for me, to stay fresh.
Yeah, and now they're done.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, time to move on somewhere else. But you spend a lot of time developing a world in fantasy adventure and the backstories. There's, like I said, there's definitely a whole great big world that once you've established kind of a sense of it, a lot of readers want to see more within that world and different time periods and different locations and different characters. So I will probably stick with that as far as the novels go, and then when I want to branch out of fantasy, when I want to write other things, whether it's comedy or comic book, action adventure, whatever, screenplays are kind of nice for that because you can do that in a few weeks or a couple of months, carve out a screenplay, whereas a book really takes a whole year out of your life to focus on where the story is going to go and write it out.
So, Elvin, if anybody who is listening wanted to turn into your own personal stalker, where would be the best place for them to go to do that?
24-hour fitness. Seriously, that's my only, you know, I wake up in the morning, I write a little bit, and I go to the gym in the middle of the day to work out, try to stay fit, and release all those mental energy, you know, so I don't have to go to the post office and take people out. So, yeah, gym every afternoon. I haven't missed a day in the gym since, I think it was Christmas of 06. So,
wow.
Yeah, if you're in the
you're
L.A.,
sick.
Southern California, what's that?
I think you're sick. And your website is www.eldenthompson.com?
Yep, that's probably the easiest place to find information or, just Google my name or what have you. As you know, I've got a MySpace, and I try to keep those things up to date. I log into MySpace probably once a month, so
Yeah, I know.
I'm not the greatest at that, but I'm not very good at hiding, so the website's probably the best place.
Well, Alden, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate your time, and it was just wonderful talking to you again.
Good luck to your Tigers this weekend. Are you going to get straightened out or what?
God love us. We're going to need it.
All right. Thanks, Tori.
Thank you, Alden. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.